We've been having a great time just talking about our union in Christ, our union with Christ. And tonight I want to talk about possessing all that is in Christ. And I think you'll see what I mean by that in a minute. But the last two times we've talked, we talked about implications of this union with Christ. And even we recognize that it's so common in Scripture to be talking about in Christ or with Christ or Christ in us. It's so prolific throughout the Bible, you begin, or the New Testament, you begin to get the idea that really, maybe this is what it's all about. I mean, if something's coming up that often, you begin to ask, well, maybe that's the point. And I believe it is. As far from a human point of view, from our redemption's point of view, that really is the point of the gospel. It's the point of the incarnation. It's the point of everything that Christ has done on our behalf, is to bring us together. Jesus even said to the disciples, "Where I'm going away to prepare a place for you." Why? So that where I am, you may be there also. Union with Christ. So our glory, our joy is the fact that we get to be with the glorious one. And so we looked at 6 implications of that. I'm not going to go back over those. Then last week we looked at 10 more and had a great time with that. And so tonight I want to look at a little bit different path of looking at different kind. It's not really implications. It's another aspect of our union with Christ. And we've made a huge deal out of our union with Christ. And let me just remind you what that is. It's an equation, really. It's I'm in Christ as a believer. Christ is in me. And you put those two ideas together, that's where we get the idea of having union with Christ. I am in Christ. That's my spiritual position. Christ is in me. That's where he's chosen to take up his residence through the Holy Spirit in the life of believers. It's not just a system. It's not just a set of beliefs. It is an actual relationship. It doesn't get any more of a relationship than that. When he comes to live inside of us and he places us, he baptizes us, so to speak, into Christ Jesus, this is our union with Christ. And most of the scriptures we've used, and this is strategically, have been related to the idea that we, the believers, are in Christ. And there was a whole ton of those. Okay, that's our position, all right? And then we looked at a bunch of scriptures that talk about Christ being in us. And we went so far as to look through a lot of them, if you remember this about a month or so ago, and we talked about, well, what aspect of our salvation is being talked about here? Is it justification? Is it sanctification? Is it glorification? Or is it some combination of all of those? And so we very strategically looked at scriptures that talk about our identity, where it uses the phrase in Christ or Christ in us. And we looked at how it relates to some aspect of our salvation in full color, the justification, sanctification, glorification. But I want us to go through the in Christ door again tonight, the in Christ door, I'll call it, that opens up a whole new massive room we haven't even really talked about with the verses that we've been discussing. It's like, you know, it's kind of neat when you go to a place and you discover a whole nother part of a building that's, and you're like, wow, I didn't even know this was here. This is another one of those for some who've never studied it or a new aspect to it. So tonight I want us to see, not only are you as a believer, me as a believer, in Christ, but there's something else that is in Christ, okay? Not just you that's in Christ, there's something else that's in Christ. Now, there's two ways to look at this. One way is to say, well, there's other people that are in Christ, okay? I'm not the only one in Christ. My fellow Christians are also in Christ. And I had I don't usually talk about the prayer requests that we get, but this one was rather significant, and I don't even know who it was. They basically said, I'm learning that I'm in Christ, which means my fellow siblings and believers are in Christ, which means that I have to get along with them. I have to forgive them. I have to relate to them. They are also in Christ. I'm not the only one in Christ. And I thought that was a great insight that the Holy Spirit gave somebody as a result. And I didn't even say that, really, on Sunday morning. That was something God just used in their heart as an implication of our union with Christ. There are other people that are in Christ. But that's really not what I want to talk about tonight. Besides other people or believers that are in Christ, and before, when I gave you that list, you know, that long list of everybody thinking about this, there was a whole bunch more that I skipped over. Another whole bunch more statements of being in Christ that I skipped over for a reason, because they deal with something else. They're not our position in Christ. There are other things that are in Christ. And there's a logical flow to what I want to say here tonight, and that is this. If you are in Christ, and Christ is in you, you have union with Christ, then get this, whatever else is in Christ comes to you as well. Okay? So you're in Christ, but if there's something else in Christ, I'll talk about what that is in a moment, but just think about the logic of what I'm saying. If you're in Christ and something else is in Christ, use slightly different way, but that puts you in experience, proximity, or access to the same things. Because there's, in other words, when Jesus comes into a believer through the Holy Spirit, he does not leave behind whatever is bound to him. He brings the whole thing. Or there's realities that find their function or their beauty or their power or their blessing in Christ. All that comes with Jesus. And he comes to live in us and we are in him. So let's look at some of those and you'll begin to see what I'm talking about. So what I want to do is to look at several of the references of being in him, in Christ, in Jesus that I skipped over before because they were not directly related to us being in Christ. And I want to clarify, in fact, let me clarify and let me show you the difference in the two, okay? So before we talked about our identity in Christ, our spiritual position that's being in Christ, with passages like this, 2 Corinthians 5:17, okay? This is the identity part that I'm going to contrast with some different ideas in a moment. If anyone is in Christ, they are in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, you see how that's spiritual position. He's a new creature. Old things have passed away. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. If you are in Christ, your position, you will be made alive. Colossians 1:27, God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So there's the position. And then finally, Romans 8:1, probably one of my very favorites, is therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ. That's your position. But now, we're going to look at what else is in Christ, and we're going to revel in this fact that if Christ is in us and we are in Christ, then that makes available to us all the glorious things that are in Christ as well. And there are a whole lot of things, a lot of blessings, a lot of realities that are also in Christ. Now, I want to give you a phrase. I hope you'll remember it. I'm going to put it on the screen. As I studied this, this phrase came to me. And it's a little awkward, it doesn't fall off your tongue easily to say it, but I think it really captures the point of what I think the scriptures are saying and what I want to share with you tonight. And that's this, that we need to remember this, that as believers, I'm talking about believers now, I'm not talking about the world, I'm not talking about people that are still trying to figure all this out and whether or not they really want to trust Christ or not. I'm talking about people that have they've been born again. They've received Christ as their Lord and Savior. They're trusting in Jesus. As believers in Christ, we possess in Christ all that is in Christ. Okay, that sounds, like I said, that sounds a little awkward, doesn't it? But I think by the time we get done tonight, you'll see the truth of it. So let's say it together if we could. As believers in Christ, we possess in Christ all that is in Christ. One more time, please. As believers in Christ, we possess in Christ all that is in Christ. So let me start off with the first thing that is in Christ that you have because you're in Christ and Christ is in you. And that is grace. Grace. You have grace, and we talk a lot about grace, and there's a lot of scriptures that say this, but I want you to see one in 2 Timothy that says it quite clearly as it relates to being grace being in Christ and Christ then being in us. 2 Timothy 1:9 is the verse, the key verse here, and it's talking about God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to works, and we understand that part, but according to his own purpose and grace. What grace? The grace which was granted us, where? In Christ Jesus from all of eternity. Now, there's another one of those verses that basically says we're saved not by works but by grace. We know Ephesians 2:8-9. We know Titus 3:5. We know a lot of verses. Romans, almost all of Romans 3:4 and 5 talk about salvation by grace through faith. Okay, so it's grace, right? We all know that. I'm going to assume that we got a handle on that. But let's go a little further in that thought, because we know that we're saved by grace. We need grace to live. We need grace to go to heaven. We need grace for tomorrow. We have a multifaceted understanding of grace. Think about all the ways we understand grace, the definitions. Why does Paul say that grace is in Christ? Here's some of the ways we think about grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. You ever heard that? You know, the acronym for grace? God's riches at Christ's expense. I love that. Here's another one. God's favor in spite of our failure. God's love given freely. God's kindness without payment demanded. God's, and here's the most common understanding of grace, God's unmerited, you can't work for it, favor. He just gives it to you because he's sovereign and he's full of grace and he gives it away freely. And so we know about grace. It's in the lifeblood of a Christian. Without it, we're lost. Without it, we're dead. Without it, we are doomed to failure. Okay, we should have some handle on that. But tonight, the point is this. Grace is in Christ. Grace is in Christ. That's exactly what Paul said to Timothy. He said, his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus. So, grace is in Christ, and here's the logic. If Christ is in us, and we are in Christ, then this union with Christ brings with it what is in Christ. And into our life this comes, and we are blessed and benefited and partakers of the same grace, right? Why? It's not just some thing God, like, throws our way, and we catch it. No, it's in Christ, and Christ is in us. This is how we get the grace of God. We get it from Christ. Since you are in union with Christ, you get what he has and is. So there's so many verses that speak to this, and they'll kind of like, oh, yeah, look at that. 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. Grace given you in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:7. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. The connection is the riches of his grace comes to us in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That doesn't say it any clearer than that. Grace that is where? Huh? In Christ Jesus. The grace is in Christ Jesus. Guess what? He lives in you. You are in him. That's how you get it. And John 1:14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We saw his glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What is full of grace and truth? Jesus Christ. John 1:16, for all of his fullness we have received grace upon grace. Why? Because we received him. So we receive grace because Christ is full of grace, and being in Christ and Christ in us puts us in touch with the grace of God. So it's more than just a concept. It's more than just a legal transaction in the courtroom of God. It is Jesus himself who is grace and has grace. And all the more reason to believe we are not saved by our works or kept by our works, because we're saved by grace, and that's all about Jesus. And that's a matter of being related to him and being in Christ and Christ being in us. So we see salvation, you know, by good works and performance makes no sense. Why wouldn't it make sense? There's a reason why that doesn't make sense. Because grace is not in you. And we're saved by grace. Grace is in him. And when he comes to live in us, we have his grace. So the first one I wanted you to see is grace. Okay, so that's one glorious reality that is in Christ. And since we are in Christ, we get to have it because we have him. Here is another one. And these are obviously all related, but let's just let the Bible speak to us in this. What about the love of God? Okay, you talk about having the love of God, experiencing the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, which is where it is. Romans 8 says this so clearly. Now, you're very familiar with Romans 8. You know this part because we love this because it says nothing's going to separate us from God's love, okay? But let's look at one phrase that you might have missed. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Now, why can I not stop there? It would still be a true statement. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But what qualifies and what defines the love of God and shows us where it is? The love of God, read it with me, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God is not some general love. It is a love that is expressed in and through our Savior. It's through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what keeps us from being separated from the love of God is the fact that it's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why is that significant? Because we're in Christ, if we're believers in Christ. Christ is in us, and that's what brings all the love of God to us. And again, that eliminates performance. That eliminates that you have some self-righteousness that makes God love you. No, it's in Christ, and he's chosen by his mercy to live in you, and he's placed you in him. He's baptized you into Christ. And so that's how you're able to experience and not be separated from the love of God, because it's bound into who Jesus is, and he's come to live in you. So the love of God is in the person of Jesus Christ. He is love. In his essence is his unexplained, undefined, overcoming, glorious, sacrificial, powerful love, and it's all in Christ. And where is Christ? He is in us. Where are we? We are in Christ. So what is the truth then about my access and experience with this love of God? Talking about experiencing the love of God. God's love rests in us and upon us as believers who are where? In Christ. And that's where all the security comes from. If you don't think about it that way or understand it that way, you could be challenged in your security because, let me say it this way. When people say things like this, I know I'm a Christian and I know Jesus lives in my heart, but I just don't know if he really loves me. There's a massive disconnect there. Because the reality of union with Christ is the answer to the issue of love, because the love of God is in Christ Jesus, and if he lives in your heart, you have love. That is him loving you. So it makes no sense to say those disconnecting statements. There's so many verses on that, of course, with love, but my aim is to saturate you with the reality of possessing Christ. When you're possessing in Christ, you have all that is in Christ. And there's that statement that I want you to remember again. If you possess Christ, you have all that is in Christ, including his great love. Now, let's look at some more verses. What time is it? I got plenty of time. I got 12 of these, okay? So we'll see how far I get. Maybe I'll get through it. Ephesians 1 is a treasure trove of realities that are in Christ. I'm not talking about the people in Christ. I'm talking about the realities that are in Christ. And in Ephesians 1, both are there. You have statements about the identity of every believer. I'm not talking about those verses. I'm not talking about that we are in Christ. We've already tried to emphasize that. Now we're talking about the other things that are in Christ. And because they are in Christ and we are in Christ and Christ is in us, we have these things. This is how we get them. And so, for instance, this is the third element. So we've talked about the grace of God, the love of God. Number three, we have every spiritual blessing. Everything, the way I say this is, everything we need to live the Christian life. Everything we need to make it to heaven. Everything we need to enjoy our relationship with God. Every provision that we have, every spiritual blessing, God has that, right? Okay, if he has that, where is it? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Where? In Christ. You cannot leave off those two words. By the way, if there are only spiritual blessings in the heavenlies and they're not in Christ, I don't have them. I have them because I have Christ. And these blessings are in Christ. So the location, if you will, and we have to, don't think too hard physically about that. The location, though, of that is in Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ who lives in me. So I have every spiritual blessing because that's in Christ and Christ is in me. Number four, we have, I'm going to put these two ideas together, redemption and forgiveness. We have redemption and forgiveness. We've been redeemed, bought back. We have complete and total forgiveness. And we talk a lot about that. That's what salvation is, right? Where did that come from? Verse 7 of Ephesians 1. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. Where is our redemption? It is in him. Redemption is in Jesus Christ. He is the source of redemption. He is the source of forgiveness based on what? His death at the cross, right? His resurrection, his securing our eternal payment for sin, his sacrifice, his atonement, his substitution, all those things that give us redemption and forgiveness, they're in him. So that's why we say they're in him, and that's why we can be secure. If you believe that the church dispenses this stuff, then you would say that salvation is actually located in the church for the church to give out. That's not how it works. Jesus has it. God fills the life of the believer with his life. That's what gives you eternal life. And that's what makes up the church. Now, I would agree. There is salvation not outside of the church. There's not people that are saved in the church and people that have nothing to do with the church that are saved. This is the family of believers. Salvation is not outside of God's family. There's not another way. But it comes in Christ, not in the sacraments of the church or the activities of the church. The church is a result of the fact that we are together in Christ, and that's what makes us believers. That's what makes us Christians. That's what makes us people that can say they know for certain that they have eternal life, that they know God. Redemption and forgiveness. All right, number five, we have an inheritance. This is something else you have. Now, why do you have it? Because it's in Christ, and you're in Christ, so that puts you in the same place, okay? So inheritance says in Ephesians 1, 10 and 11, in him, in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance. There it is. Having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. This verse really speaks to the idea that we actually possess, something we possess in Christ, all that is in Christ. Okay? He even uses the word inheritance, right? That's a possession. It involves possessions. So all that he has, we have. Why? Because we have him. It's not all that he is, we are. We're not God. But I repeat it, everything that he has, we have because we have him. And so many wonderful blessings of that come to us. And you can study inheritance a long time, but I just want you to see that it comes because it's in Christ and Christ is in us. Now, this next one is huge, and I hope to preach on it someday. And to my shame, I really haven't. I never have. But look at this in light of what we've said about possessing in Christ all that is in Christ. 2 Corinthians 1, let me just read it first of all. This is such powerful statements. But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. We're not wishy-washy. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but is yes in him. For as many as are the promises of God in him, in Christ, they are yes. Therefore, also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ, there it is, there's our position in Christ, and anointed us is God, who also sealed us with the gift and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. So really what we're saying here is all of God's promises. I think about all the promises you know, and you know that there's a lot you don't know. There's so many promises of God. And Paul is saying, all those promises are ours. All the promises of God are ours. How is that? How could we suddenly have all the promises? Well, if you have Christ and all the promises of God are yes, where? In him. So the promises of God are yes in him, and I realize that's a concept you may be new to you, and you say, well, I need to study that. Yeah, that's right, you ought to study that, and we will study that. But I'm just laying out the idea that even the promises of God are ours. And you might have over the years said, well, I believe the promises of God are all mine. Based on what? Well, I don't know, I just believe the promises of God are mine. I think that's in the Bible somewhere. That's where it is. The reason they're yours is not because of your performance. They're not based on things that your activity. They're yours in Christ. Now, the realization of them and the operation of them may be dependent on your obedience, because some of the promises are related to obedience. If you do this, I will do this. But the only way that could ever happen in your life is because they're in Christ and Christ is in you. All the promises are ours. Why? Because the promises are in Christ and we are in Christ. That's a huge one. Number 7, our salvation is in Christ. Now, this is obvious. Most Christians would know salvation is in Christ. In fact, if you don't think salvation is in Christ, you're not a Christian, right? This is basic. But here's the reason why that is true. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10 is one example, or chapter 2, verse 10 says it this way. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, for the elect, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory. Now, I couldn't be any plainer than that. The salvation, say it with me, the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. There it is. There's your biblical reason for making the case in your own heart and mind when you preach the gospel to yourself or to somebody else. Salvation, going to heaven, eternal glory, avoiding hell, being redeemed, all those incredible realities that are part of salvation is in Christ. Salvation is resident in Christ. He is the Savior, and when he lives in you and you live in him, you have what he has. That's how you can say, I know I'm a Christian. I know that I'm saved. I have Christ. See, for other people who hear that, they go, well, how do you know you've done good enough? It's not like that. It's the fact that salvation is in Jesus Christ, and he lives in me. So salvation, similar, redemption. Number 8, redemption. Romans 3:24, being justified as a gift by his grace. Read it with me. Through the redemption, which is where? In Christ Jesus. There it is, plain as day. Right there in the Bible. Redemption is in Christ Jesus. So if you have Christ Jesus, what do you have? Everything that he has, which is including redemption. Faith and love, number 9. We already talked about love, so I'm just going to put faith in there, but these go together. Faith and love, 2 Timothy 1:13. Retain the standard of sound words, which you have heard from me. In the faith and love, where are faith and love? Which are in Christ Jesus. Even faith is in Christ. And that's not talking about the way we generally say it, faith in Christ, like putting your faith into Christ. Faith is in Christ. And Christ in you brings faith into your heart. We're going to talk about that Sunday. Even the faith that we have to trust the Son of God is a gift of his grace. Even faith is a gift. Amazing. Number 10. the true riches. I'll call it the true riches. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your needs, everything you need, according to his riches, which are where? In glory in Christ Jesus. The riches of God's glory, the riches in glory, is in Christ Jesus. And this is how Paul could say to the people who had been very faithful in supporting him in their ministry, my God's going to supply all your needs. How? In Christ. Because all the riches are in Christ, and Christ lives in you, and that's how you're going to experience them. That's the only way you're going to be able to experience them. Number 11, sanctification. 1 Corinthians 1:2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. In other words, sanctification that is in Christ Jesus. Saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Paul's statement here at least gives us the indication, where does sanctification come from? Where does this process of changing and God making us holy, where does all that reside? It also resides in Jesus. Jesus lives in us. That's the only way we're going to get it, because it's in Christ. Finally, one more verse. There's actually four that go with this. This has kind of been our key verse along the way, because it does deal with our identity, but it's also going to talk about what is in our identity. 1 Corinthians 1:30. This is a huge verse. You ought to memorize it. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. How did I get in Christ? You say, well, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Okay, but how did that happen? It was his doing. He gets the credit. He makes the initiation. He's the one with the effectual call. He's the one with the overwhelming power in your heart and mind to draw you to repentance and faith. It is his doing that you are in Christ Jesus. That's a great, secure place to be. And what is Christ Jesus? He became to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. All four of those huge, important words for us. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. All those things are in him. And he is that to us. Because why? We're in Christ. So it's, I hope that just hearing all that together kind of like colors in a little bit for you to go, I believe all that, but now it seems more real to me, because now I get the common denominator of it all. Because sometimes if you think about all those different things that I've said that we all want to experience, love, grace, inheritance, redemption, forgiveness, spiritual blessings, promises, salvation, redemption, faith, love, riches, sanctification, all these things. All those things are swirling around out there in our brain and our minds and our understanding about our Christian life. But here's the one leveling common denominator to every single one of those, and that is this. They're all in Christ. And how could they be mine? Do I have to do this and I have to do that and I have to? No, they're in Christ, and I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. These things are in Christ. So if I'm in Christ and these things are in Christ and Christ is in me, that puts me in contact of possession of these things. And so we have a very Christ-centered possession of them. And that eliminates all of our pride. It eliminates all of our boasting. It eliminates all of that stuff, because now we can put it all back to Christ and we can begin to accept by faith that these things are true. And I believe that when we do that, I think God then unleashes our ability to experience them and to enjoy them and to live in them and to have all them in our daily thinking, in our life, in our security, and all the things, the fruit that bears in our hearts comes because we now have the common denominator of we're giving credit where credit is due, and we're looking for it in the right places. We're looking for it because we have it in Christ. And I always feel inadequate talking about stuff like this because it's so big. And I think, Lord, unless you explain that to us, we're going to miss something here. But if he explains it to you, like the person who got, made the connection, oh, wait, I'm in Christ, my siblings are in Christ. Oh, I've got to relate to my fellow people that are in Christ. Yeah, the Holy Spirit showed you that. Well, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will show us the value of this for each of us, and that we will have the right thinking that leads us to the right experience that ultimately glorifies God because we enjoy Him all the more. So, hope you'll be reflecting on these if you want if that's coming to you. One thing I've been hearing lately is all this is coming like a fire hydrant to me. Like, okay, I've heard that several times now. So if you want the notes, I'll give them to you. You know, I'll email them to you. If you're hungry, let me know and I'll share them with you if you haven't had a chance to get them all down. I want to do that for you. And let's pray together. Lord, there are so many wonderful things that are in you. And they're all things we want. Would you, Lord, show us tonight that if we have you, we have it all. And I pray that we would seek to experience and enjoy all of these things as we remember that everything that we possess in Christ comes to us because they are in Christ. And so, Lord, we thank you for your provision for us, that you gave it to us in a relationship. You gave it to us in union with you. And I pray that our view of you would be grander and greater tonight as a result, and that our humility would be stronger because we see that it all comes from you. And that our confidence would be higher because if we're confident enough to say that we're in Christ and Christ is in us, then we can take a step towards confidence to know that we have everything we need in you. And maybe we've been living like poor people when we're really rich. Maybe we've been living in sin when we haven't acknowledged that we have everything we need in you to overcome that sin. Maybe we've lived a lie because we didn't understand or we hadn't appropriated the realities of being in Christ. And maybe we've missed out on some joy. But tonight, we're turning that around. One more step towards living in the freedom and the power and the glory of being in Christ and all the things that are in Christ being ours because of your grand grace over us. Lord, take this message and sanctify it according to your word and your Spirit's application to it, to our hearts. Give us a great rest of the evening. Give us a great rest of the week. I pray that you'd bring us back here Sunday ready to study your word again and to just enjoy the realities of union with Christ and the idea of having faith in the Son of God and what that means. Lord, I pray that you would meet every need that's in this room. I pray that you would take us home safely and give us a good evening with our families. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.